Hello, my friends. Welcome to 2026. Welcome to the first episode of the Indie Founder Podcast of this new year. In today's episode, I'll try to predict the future. I've made a few predictions about what will happen in 2026 concerning AI, political, SaaS, economical predictions. And I brainstormed these predictions together with ChatGPT. So I will give you some of the ideas, the things that I believe will happen this year. Of course, these are only predictions, and it will be fun next year to see which one were right or which ones were wrong. And if you followed the past episode where I discussed this with my co-founder, João, you probably already know some of these ideas that I have for this year. But one other thing that I did that I think it will be quite fun as well is that I prepared kind of a list of yes or no questions. I gave my answers, and then I gave the same questions to ChatGPT. And I'm going to give you my answer, its answer, and then it will be fun next year to revisit this episode and see who was right and if the AI is already better than me predicting the future. Now, before doing that, I also want to do something fun. As you know, if you're listening to this on Spotify, Spotify has this newish feature that allows you to ask questions and leave comments. So there's a fellow listener that left a comment and a really interesting question, and I would like to answer. Before, I will also motivate you to do that. So I always like to get your feedback, to hear your questions, talk with you. So you can do that by chatting with me on Twitter, WBTiago is my handle. Or you can also leave your questions and comments and feedback on Spotify, because they have that really cool feature. Now, the listener's name is Tony Maloney, and the question is, Tiago, can you speak a bit about the fact on how you used to live or you lived off unemployment benefits to get your business started, and now you have landed in the opposite position concerning taxes? So I've seen this happen with Dagobert and other founders. So I was wondering how you reconcile the two. So basically, the question, if I understood correctly, is nowadays, after being an entrepreneur, I often complain about taxes being too high. And Tony is saying, how do I reconcile with the fact that I used these taxes in the past to kind of sustain my runway once I was unemployed? So to give some context for the people that haven't listened, this is actually an episode, or I mentioned that a few years back. So Tony, first of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for the amazing question, and thank you for being, a listener, either an old listener or someone that actually went back to the early episodes. But for the ones that didn't, so I was working as a software engineer in Germany. I was working first for Trivago, then I worked for a smaller startup that then was acquired by Trivago. And I decided to leave that life, the 9-to-5 life, to focus on my own project. So I quit my job. In Germany, this, by the way, doesn't happen in Portugal, but in Germany, if you quit your job, you still are entitled to get unemployment benefits. You don't get the full 1 year of unemployment benefits, but you do get 9 months. And I used that. And that was very helpful for me because it gave me a really nice runway. I already had my own runway, but it gave me an extra runway to basically focus on building and learning on how to become a better entrepreneur and building my projects. And eventually I got to PodSqueeze that is now sustaining my lifestyle. This is a great question. I want to clarify one thing though. I am not anti-taxes, okay? I believe that taxes are really important. I believe that even though in certain countries, but speaking specifically about Portugal, the state is too big and should be a bit reduced, but it's very essential that there is a state and there is public service that supports the society. So with that, I mean, and I think these are also, by the way, some liberal thoughts. So even when you think about liberalism, the idea of state is not so, it's not that like in liberalism there is no state, right? There is state. And normally, I believe that state is important in things that are not economically viable. So let's say, for instance, basic science. Basic science is something that it will not be profitable. It can eventually lead, of course, to major developments in science that then those developments will lead to money. But the basic science is not profitable. So if we don't have a system to finance this basic science, no one will do that. And therefore, we will never get to those big developments that eventually will actually affect humankind, like finding treatment for certain diseases or finding technology that now, for instance, AI, right? AI came from the machine learning, from neural networks that at first they came from very academic type of discoveries and science, right? So that's really important. And of course, to help people, right? I believe that especially in a democratic society, it's very important that people are educated so that they can make informed decisions, they can vote in the right person, and they can as well question things that they don't give whatever the politicians are throwing at them as a given. They are able to have this kind of critical thinking. So for that, education is very important. As well, people must be healthy, right? We must live in a healthy society where most diseases are either eradicated or are easily curable, not only for the individual, but as well for society itself, right? So a lot of diseases are, for instance, they could spread, right? So it's important to make sure that they do not exist. So in that sense, I believe that it's a very important role the state of the state to make sure that this not exist, and we cannot depend on the market to correct those things. So for those things, I do believe that it's really important for to have a public service, and that taxes will obviously be the way to finance those services. So I am in favor of this, and I'm also in favor of giving unemployment money, and even to give unemployment money to people that want to quit their job and focus on other things. I think that's actually crucial, because if we don't give that, people will become slaves of their work, right? So, and that happens a lot here in Portugal, by the way. You can notice that. You can see that people here, they don't make a lot of money, especially in comparison with the cost of living. So a lot of people in Portugal, they are not able to save money, right? So if they are not able to save money, and then if they want to quit their jobs, they don't get any help, then they cannot quit their jobs. They will have to work, because if they don't work, they don't have food. They don't have ways to pay for their lifestyle or even to sustain their life, right? So I think it's quite important to give that freedom to people. Now, in my opinion, why I think there's too many taxes is, first of all, I believe that there with less money, we could do more things, okay? So I think the state is too big, and there's a lot of incompetence. There's also a bit of corruption. There's a bit of disorganization around that could be fixed, and I think that if we would to fix that, and if we would take some of the learnings that we get from private companies and take that those things to the state, to the government, to the public services, we would be able to be more efficient, and we would not need this amount of taxes, right? So I think that's the first. Second, I also think that there is a big discrepancy. So because bureaucracy is so huge and so big, it's really hard, especially for small bootstrappers like myself, to navigate through these lines of bureaucracy. And we eventually pay a lot of taxes because we cannot navigate through it. Okay, so this means that sometimes there are certain states that I can, certain requests rather, that I can make to the states that will reduce my corporate tax, for instance. We eventually did that with PodSqueeze. But to do that, we needed to hire a lawyer or have someone that actually know to do that, how to do that, because we cannot do it. Like myself, with my knowledge, without, you know, law knowledge, I can filling all of these forms, it's very, very hard. And most of my time should be focused on building my small company, not in finding ways on how to reduce my taxes. And here is as simple as this. Because taxes are so high at the moment, I would need, if I wouldn't find a solution, I would need to have two jobs. I wouldn't be able to build my company because the money I'm getting from my company, even though it's a profitable company, because I have to pay so like such an amount of taxes, I cannot live. My lifestyle, I cannot even pay. I'm not even asking for something huge. I'm not asking to have this millionaire or even rich lifestyle. But the normal lifestyle of like renting, of buying a house, of being able to also enjoy some good things of life, like travel once in a while or going out for food, those kinds of things I cannot do if I have to pay this amount of taxes, right? And the unfairness of it is that bigger corporations tend to pay even like in percentage less taxes because they do have enough income to hire lawyers, to hire experts that are able to navigate those lines for them. So in reality, Tony, to answer this question, I am not anti-taxes. I believe taxes are important. I do believe that especially for, we should guarantee that people are able to have and pay for their lifestyle. And for that, I mean that they should be able to get enough money to live their life, to save money at the end of the month. I think that's very important. People shouldn't live from paycheck to paycheck. And once they do that, once those things are covered, then we should maybe start thinking more about taxes. But I believe that people and governments tax people too early and then also neglect a bit the big corporations and allow them with very, very complex bureaucracy, allow them to actually pay less taxes in comparison to the smaller and micro companies. So, and I've been thinking about this quite often that, yes, I think taxes should be lower, but equally as important, I think bureaucracy should be reduced and things should be much more simpler for better control and as well to make it easier for smaller indie makers and companies to navigate those lines. So yeah, that's my answer. I hope it's good enough. I was kind of thinking as I was answering, but yeah, that's kind of my opinion. Thank you, Tony. And again, if anyone has questions or things I should mention in the next episodes of the Indie Founder Podcast, make sure to use Spotify to leave your comments. Now, let's go to the predictions of 2026. I will start with my kind of bullet point predictions, and then we'll go to the yes or no questions. So the first prediction is AI keeps improving, but at a slower pace. Adoption explodes and AI becomes default infrastructure. So I said it already in past episodes. I believe that we are getting to the point where each iteration of or each new OpenAI or Gemini, whatever release, does not bring such a big gap comparison to the first ones. So it's still developing and it will still develop. I think we'll have better coders, AI coders, better AI content makers, but it won't be at an exponential growth. And I believe that this is actually quite good because it allows for people to catch up. And now there, and I think that we'll see more and more companies adopting AI into their processes. And this will already cause a lot of jobs to be lost, because nowadays, and I've shared about that plenty of times, that now I have AI employees, AI junior employees that are doing great jobs. So I believe that other companies will start implementing the same. And yeah, there are people that will have to kind of find other types of jobs. Second prediction, many white collar jobs start being partially or fully replaced. Okay, this is basically the same. So it's funny because we first thought that the blue collar jobs would be the first to be replaced, but now it seems that no. Since we found AI, which is somehow an API to a brain, we are now able to replace a lot of desk jobs, a lot of computer jobs. And yeah, that will be really tricky because we told our youth that nowadays they should go to college, they should study to then work in these kind of more comfortable desk jobs. And now we are taking this away from them. Third, tech output per employee increases massively. Small teams outperform larger ones. These are great news for indie makers, right? Because now you can make maybe 5 times, 10 times more features, more code than before. But the same will happen for bigger companies, right? Bigger companies, they will not need maybe 200 or 1,000 developers. They start needing less because one developer will have the output of 10, right? So tech-savvy builders with an entrepreneurial mindset create far more products. So I believe that, and we already saw that happen in 2025, you don't need to be a coder anymore or have like a degree to build SaaS and build software. You just need to be tech-savvy, right? So, and I think in 2026, still people that are not tech-savvy, they will not embrace AI. They will not be able to make their products, and that's still the majority. But tech-savvy people, they will be able to make their own software, to bring their ideas to life. And a great example is my co-founder, João, whom in 2025 already is building products and complex features for PodSqueeze without knowing how to code. The next prediction is build costs drop close to zero and product supply explodes. So because now it's easier to make SaaS, and more people can make it, there will be more offer. Therefore, the prices will go down. There will also be more trash for sure. But because there's more people able to do that, more companies able to build more software, the prices will go down. And I think in general, we'll be seeing that. So that's, yeah, software prices decrease due to extreme competition. That's the other prediction. And I'm not sure how this will be reflected, but I guess you'll just with your SaaS start noticing that your competitors are reducing prices, or there are maybe new competitors showing up. Now, SaaS consolidation accelerates. Many small tools die or get acquired cheaply. Now, yeah, this one actually came with help with GPT. Was not my initial prediction, but I think it makes sense. So because bigger companies are now able to easily produce software and even small features, they can maintain certain functionalities, even if those are not the core part of their business, right? So I remember when I used to work at Trivago, the most important thing for Trivago was the click out. So when people would click to go to a hotel, and any other feature that would mess up with this or that would take time and resources from these, like from developing that main flow, would be put it aside. Now with AI, because again, there's more output, it's easier to do this. I think these bigger companies will be able to explore other avenues. And this means that it might be harder to compete with these companies, and they will eventually start buying smaller SaaS. And this also goes along with my next prediction, which is standalone tools struggle unless they own a niche or distribution. And I've said that multiple times, especially in the last episode with my conversation with Jerome, distribution is key, was always key, and now will be even more important. And that will be also our focus. We want to build a network, a pipeline of distribution, because since you cannot compete with being the first one to the market or being the only one building tools for a specific niche, because anyone can do that much easily, your only way to compete is being the first one to get to their eyes. When people search on Google, it should be on top. When people ask AI, AI should recommend your product. You should be on top of mind. Distribution is really important. I believe that in 2026, we'll notice that companies with higher distribution channels will keep growing. And you will be able to see that, especially in the indie world, by seeing the creators that already have big audiences. You'll see Peter Levels. You'll see Tony Dean. You'll see Thibaut. You'll see all these big creators that have already huge distribution channels through their social media. They will still build more products, and these products will make even more money, and it will be easier for them. And if they want to go in this avenue, they will start, and I think Tony Dean is already doing that, will hire people, will make more products, and use their distribution channels to make these products, may monetize these products and make more money. So that's it. Now, open source replaces a large part of proprietary SaaS. This one is also coming from GPT. So he's saying that because it's easier to make products, there'll be more open source products, people just for fun doing stuff, maybe college students, and they will easily make open source Twitter or an open source pod squeeze, hopefully not. And they will do that just for fun and open source, and people will start using that. So yeah, that's a GPT prediction. Now, another one is SEO and Google lose dominance but remain relevant. So now, and I think I'm doing that, I believe you are doing that too, we use ChatGPT a lot or AI a lot to do our own searches. We don't use Google as much. Stack Overflow, maybe some people, they don't even know already what Stack Overflow was. Stack Overflow, maybe 2-3 years ago, was the main source for coders to find solutions for problems they're having. And these days, I think, I don't know, I don't see Stack Overflow. I've never used it. I've stopped using it for maybe 1 or 2 years already. And same thing can happen with Google. But it's still relevant. We will still bet on SEO. It's the same thing as email, right? People now use WhatsApp, use Slack, but email and mailing lists and newsletters are still very relevant. And we are still betting on those, and we are going to still bet on SEO. Plus, a lot of these AI models, they use their Google searches to recommend products. So it's still relevant to be number one, number two, number three on Google, because they will still recommend your products. Now, this one is also coming from GPT. Discovery shifts to AI assistants, social platforms, and recommendations. Okay, this is basically similar to or in the same lines of the transition rather from SEO to people using more AI assistants, social platforms. Okay, this will just intensify, but it was already happening on 2025. The other prediction is that the AI bubble does not burst and that stock markets continue rising, even though the evolution gap, it will reduce. There's too much money on AI. And this was, by the way, also, I'm taking this prediction from the last episode of Startups for the Rest of Us from Rob Walling, where he also makes his prediction. And I agree with him. Even though I was afraid that the AI bubble could burst, I don't think it will burst right away. I don't think it will burst in 2026. It might happen in 2027. Let's see how this year goes. But I think AI, they will still find ways to keep people excited, to keep investors excited. And even though the development gap will not be as strong, they will find ways to make something viral and some cool videos and whatever, and will still keep investors excited about it. And another thing, and that's the last prediction of this episode, and this prediction actually came from GPT, is that the human characteristics will become more relevant and people will start preferring human products than AI products. There'll be this kind of urge for humans to support each other, and things like tools that promote the real human interaction could be something that will rise in 2026. And I will also add to that that companies that will help with the transition from manual or from non-AI to AI jobs will rise. So, and this is already happening. There are already a lot of influencers doing the transition from non-AI to AI, and that was really smart now looking back. And I think we'll have more companies helping with that transition, being that giving education to the employees on how to use AI or developing custom tools for each company. Now, let's go to the bullet questions. So these are basically yes or no questions that I answered myself and then asked GPT to also give its answer. And the idea is that in the future, in 1 year from now, we will compare and see who had the better prediction. So the first question is Bitcoin going to keep growing and reach an all-time high? And my answer is yes, but the growth will be smaller than 2025. And GPT said yes as well. Growth continues Growth continues driven more by institutions than retail, less explosive but more structural. Okay, interesting. So I guess similar answers here. Second question: are we going to have more wars? I just answered probably yes. To be honest, this is just a wild guess, but looking at the world, sure, it could happen. So probably yes. And GPT answer was yes. Okay, that's scary. Mostly regional and proxy conflicts, not global escalation. Okay, so there will be no global escalation according to GPT, but proxy conflicts will continue. Now, is the Russia versus Ukraine war going to be solved? My answer is yes. I think that we are already towards a path of finding a way to solve this conflict. But GPT says not fully, most likely a frozen conflict or negotiated stalemate. Okay. Now, next question. Is the AI bubble going to burst in 2026? I said no. And AI also says no. Some valuation compression, but no systemic collapse. Okay, we have the same answer here. I think most of the answers have been very similar. The only one that we have opposite answers is with the Russia-Ukraine being solved. Next question. Are we going to have an economic crisis coming from AI? And this means, right, because I believe that the bubble will not burst, so the crisis, and I say that it will start, so yes, it will start at the end of 2026, that's my prediction. So the crisis will come from people, a lot of people losing their jobs to AI. So as we are adapting, there will be this transition period, and that's my answer. And GPT's answer is also yes, gradual and structural, driven by job displacement rather than sudden crash. Okay, that's, I don't know if he's just taking my answer and copying it, but that's basically the same answer. So I guess GPT and I agree that, yes, we'll have, unfortunately, some crisis, especially for me, more towards the end of the year. Next question. This is an interesting one. Will an AI win a Nobel Prize? My answer is no. And GPT's answer is also no, but AI will be instrumental in work that wins one. I totally agree. I didn't answer that, but I was thinking about it, that even though AI itself will not win a Nobel Prize, it will be a great tool for the person that does win. And I think in the future, maybe 2030 or something, we'll have the first AI winning the Nobel Prize. Now, next question. Will we have major developments in cancer treatment? My answer is no, still not. And GPT's answer is no breakthroughs, incremental progress in diagnostic and personalization. Okay, that's kind of playing it safe. Is the extreme right still going to keep growing? And my answer is no, it will settle. I believe that it was a period of adaptation, and there's a right turn, I guess, all around the world, also in Europe, but now it's plateauing. And GPT also says plateaus. So growth slows and the governing limits appear. So basically, GPT also agrees that there's a plateau. Are we going to solve the housing crisis? I say no, prices will still rise. And GPT says no, supply constraints remain, especially in desirable cities. So same. Will remote work disappear? No, but it will reduce. That's my answer. GPT also says no. So I don't know if GPT is just kind of copying and is somehow adapting to whatever I'm giving to it, but it's giving very similar answers. Will big tech lose power? And I say no, they will increase power due to AI. That's my answer. And GPT says no, power concentrates further around AI, data, and infrastructure. Will startups become easier or harder to build? My answer is harder. Too much competition. And here, GPT disagrees. It's the second question where the GPT disagrees. This, it says, easier to build, harder to win. Competition explodes. Okay, so I guess that's still basically the same. The only thing is that, sure, this is maybe there's room for interpretation here. But for me, building a startup is making a startup profitable and making a startup grow. And GPT thought about just building the software. Yeah, sure, building the software, it's easier. It's harder to win because there'll be more competition. So never mind, we have the same answer here. Will individual creators outperform smaller companies? Both of us think yes, because of the reasons I just explained. It's just more easier. You just have a higher output. Will education systems adapt to AI? My answer is not yet. And as well for GPT, it's just, I don't know, I think it's too slow. Governments and the, again, going back to the first answer that I gave to our listener, Tony, it's also the state, the government takes too long to adapt, probably because of that complex bureaucracy. So I don't think that education will adapt. Now, the last two questions. We have, will climate policy accelerate? And both of us think largely the same. It will not accelerate, it will stay the same. Will Europe fall further behind the US in tech? My answer is no. I believe that Europe needs to wake up, and I think they're already doing that. And GPT's answer is as well no, but only if Europe meaningfully changes course. So basically, yeah, sure. My prediction is that Europe will change course. So it's funny, from all these questions, there's only one thing that we disagree, which is the result of the Russia versus Ukraine war. So not sure if this means that the AI GPT is just trying to make me happy or stealing my ideas, or if we are actually aligned. But these are my predictions for 2026. Now, I'm curious to hear what are your predictions. Do you think that I am wrong in certain aspects? Is there something that is really important that might happen in 2026 that I'm blindsiding it and I'm not seeing it? If there is, feel free to reach out again through Spotify or at for through Twitter. On Spotify, you can leave your questions. You can also leave a review there. So that'll be awesome. And yeah, I will be waiting for your questions and feedback. Once again, thank you for listening to the Indie Founder Podcast. We are back in 2026. And I wish you all the best for this year. And yeah, hopefully we will triple our MRR and make amazing SaaS that make the world a better place. So see you next week, and let's go.